What is up, church? How are we feeling this morning? Good? Yeah. Man, it's so good to be back preaching to or with you. I don't ever feel like I preach to anybody. I feel like I preach with you because most of the times when I'm preparing a message, I'm like, oh, Lord, oh, like for my own heart. And so I, you know, just always feel like I'm preaching with you. But it's so glad. I'm so glad to be back after 2 weeks of being off. But listen, if you were here the past 2 weeks, how about Derek and Zach, right? Dang. After they preached, I was like, I might be out of a job. You guys all might fire me. It's going to be awesome. Man, Derek kicked off this series, this string series that we're talking about worship in. And he said, what you're willing to work your life around is what you worship. And I was like, man, if I could ever say that without my tongue getting tied, that would be really powerful. And so, man, that was awesome. And then Zach last week had the seesaw up here. Do you remember that? And he said that proper worship is a balance between heart and head. And man, what an incredible couple of messages. And so that's what we've been talking about through this series, string. As scary and as spooky as that opener is, I kind of have nightmares from that every single week when I go home. But as scary as that is, the whole point is, we thought during maybe the Halloween type season, that we would help you understand what worship actually is. Because I think we call this buzzword worship a lot, but we don't really know exactly what it means. And so we wanted to help you understand that worship ultimately is not a moment where we sit in a service and we sing. Worship is essentially what controls you. What controls you is what you worship. And so worship is a 24/7 lifestyle lived out not just on Sunday, but Monday through Sunday, every single day, 24/7. And you and I are great at worship. The question we just ask over the course of the past couple weeks and what we're asking through this whole series is, what are you great at worshiping? Because not everything's going to sustain you. And so, man, I'm excited to dive into this this next week of this series. And we're going to be talking about worry, which I would venture to say probably everybody in here has dealt with at some point. Worry, right? So we're going to talk about that. Before I do that, I want to celebrate something because we like to celebrate things at our church. We like to get loud. We like to cheer. And so I want you to know this. This past Wednesday night at our student group, our student res group, we had record attendance. 23 students showed up to the basement of a house. Come on. That's awesome. And what's even better, and we should celebrate even louder, is that we had one student give her life to Jesus through a video message. An invitation done through a video message. So, I mean, that's awesome. It's incredible. And so we're excited about what God is doing there. And if you're a parent of a teenager in here, I know that it's kind of a strain to get your students all the way up to that house in Westfield. And here's the deal. I know it's frustrating, and I know it can be tough because you're used to carting your kids around everywhere, aren't you? Right? You're like, just one more thing. Golly, oh my gosh, right? And so here's the thing. I get it, and I want to say thank you. Thank you for making the time to take your student all the way up to this house in Westfield. And I can tell you this, all the things that you cart your student around to in 60, 100, and 1,000 years from now, it's not going to matter. But what you're taking your student to on Wednesday night, that's what's going to matter. That's what's going to still be here. The local church is the hope of the world for the next 2,000 years plus. Somebody better get excited about that. Come on. And so listen, this is the most important thing that you could take your student to. And so here's what I want to say. We are actively looking for a space right now that we can call home for our students, a somewhat permanent facility right here in the Washington Township area. And so we're really excited about that. If you want to know more about that, listen, mark your calendars for November 22nd. It's the Sunday before Thanksgiving. And don't miss that Sunday because I'm going to talk about some of the plans that we have for that. It's going to be exciting. You students want a space for yourself. Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah. Hey, let's talk about worry for just a little bit because, I don't know about you, but I worry sometimes. I've got fears in my life, and sometimes they're rational fears. Sometimes they're fears of things that actually exist, like snakes, right? Now, I've heard people say, there's some good snakes, Davey. No. A good snake is a dead snake, right? I'm afraid of snakes, and they actually exist, and they could really kill me, right? I'm afraid of sharks. You know, I saw Jaws, it ate a helicopter, and it's real. So I'm not trying to get in the water and in that. So there's some things that you're rationally afraid of, but there are also some things that we are irrationally afraid of. Like things that aren't really gonna happen and don't really exist. And I was reminded of this when I was in high school. Every single Sunday afternoon when I was in high school, we would get all of our friends together from the youth group at the church that I was attending, and we'd go down to the basement of a house. And instead of doing like really cool things like we do with the students where we have worship and we listen to a message, we would dim all the lights, we would blanket all of the windows, and we would watch scary movies. And I loved scary movies. I couldn't get enough. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, which is interesting we did it on Sunday because we're like freaked out by like the seance, right? And then we're going back to church like, Jesus, you know, like we were all scared to death, right? Just, oh, yes, heaven, yes, you know? But we would do this every single Sunday, and the first few times I was fine with it. But then it started getting really, really scary. It started really getting at me, right? Like The Ring. You remember that movie? When homegirl crawled out of the TV, I was like, no, we're done. That's it, right? I can't watch TV normally now because I'm like any long-haired girl. I'm like, ah! I hated that. I remember Paranormal Activity. They should have called Paranormal Activity Abnormal Bladder Activity. You know what I'm saying? It's like, because you just pee your pants when you watch that. That was a terrible movie for me. What cured me from scary movies was Final Destination. Does anybody remember the Final Destination movies? Okay, Final Destination 1, I was fine. Final Destination 2, I was okay. But Final Destination 3, done. Now, they've gone on to make 5, 6, 7, 100,000, whatever, right? Hollywood's not very creative. But after Final Destination 3, this is what started happening to me. I would go home. I'd crawl in my bed. And I'd try to go to sleep at night. Then all of a sudden, I'd hear the trees outside begin to rustle in the wind, and one of the trees would bang up against the window of my bedroom, and I started having these really irrational fears. Now, I have a wild imagination, and so I play these things out in my mind. I'm not sure if you're like this, but I began playing out the scenario in my mind, and I began to go, oh my gosh, that tree is going to shatter my window, and then a shard of glass is going to fly across the room and embed itself into the drywall across the room, right above the light socket where the wires run. It's going to clip the wire, send a spark onto my carpet that's going to ignite my carpet in flames, thereby causing my smoke alarm to go into this high-piercing frequency that causes the fan that's above me, the ceiling fan, to begin to rumble and shatter, and then it's going to fall down on top of me, and I'm going to die a slow, painful, incendiary death. That's what my mind said. So I told my mom about this. She was like, maybe you should cut out the scary movies, Davey, right? For me, like, that's what happens. The first time that I saw World War Z, I began to go home and plan out how I was going to combat against the zombie apocalypse, you know? I got a gun. I was like, you ain't coming in here, you know? We have fears, and some of them are rational. Some of them aren't rational at all. And fear can translate into worry. And I'm just like you. I worry about things. Like, you're not going to show up to this church and this is going to be a perfect pastor who doesn't have any problems. I worry about things just like you. I worry about finances. Like, how are we going to pay that bill? And how are we going to make these ends meet? And how are we going to do this? I worry about that. And I bet every single person here worries on some level about that. I worry about my future. I worry about the future of this church. I worry about the fragility of a new church and what that looks like. I worry about my kids. David, did you just say kids? Yes, I did. Guess what? Come on! Yeah! We just went through a love song series. I just want you to know that your pastor is smoking what he's selling. He is practicing what he's preaching. Come on, somebody. We are expecting our second little one. So I'm praying for you guys because you know how preacher's kids are. But man, isn't that right? When you get, like, when your spouse gets pregnant, don't you worry about everything? Like, I remember Weston, I went in the middle of the night and like, just for no reason, just because I was worried, I would go and just check to see if he was still breathing. Like, I just worry. And I bet if we're honest in here, and I know you're not used to being honest in church, but maybe for just the next 35, 40 minutes, we could just be honest in here. I bet that you worry about some things. And here's the thing. What happens is we try to deal with worry by sometimes we dwell on it, right, which doesn't help because it just perpetuates the worry. Sometimes we try to ignore it. which ultimately doesn't help either, because the thing that we're worried about probably needs to actually be taken care of and dealt with, not dwelt upon, but dealt with. And if we don't deal with it, then it's just going to end up perpetuating itself even more and come back with more of a vengeance in our life. So what do we do about worry? I want to issue you this today. What I want to talk to you about is how do we, and I want to kind of walk us through how to wage warfare on worry. Because I believe that God has given us the best weapon to wage warfare on worry, and that weapon is, listen, true worship of Him. So if you get nothing else in here today, what you've got to understand is that worship is a weapon that we use to wage warfare against worry. And so I want to walk through a story with you. I hope maybe you've never heard this story, but I don't know if you've ever gone into the Old Testament and kind of looked through some of the stuff. I love the Old Testament. Some really cool battle stories in there, right? And I love battle stories. My favorite movie is Gladiator, right? Love it. So I love to just, I love getting into the battle story. So I'm going to walk us through this story and get us into this battle story. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and I've got a few words that I want you to write down. So if you're taking notes, write these down. If you are not a note taker, take notes today, okay? Write these down anyways, because this is going to benefit you in so many ways. And maybe you're not worried in here today, but I can promise you something's going to happen where you will be worried, and you'll want to tuck this one away for later. So I want to talk to you about 5 P's. Hopefully we get to all 5, okay? I haven't preached in a while, so we'll see. 5 P's right here. The first P that you need to think through when it comes to worry, I want to talk about, is the P, pressure. Pressure. Write down the word pressure. Because we all deal with pressure, and that's what causes worry. The more intense the pressure, oftentimes the more intense the worry, the more intense the situation. And so let's look at this story up here in 2 Chronicles 20. I want to show you what happens to this king named Jehoshaphat. That's a cool name, right? That's the name of our second baby. All right, Jehoshaphat.
P-H-A-T, fat. What?
Right? So, it is. See? Look, P-H-A-T. See? Told you. After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, and with some of them, the Munites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Now, let me ask you something. Have you ever had the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the Munites come against you for battle? Ever? No. Okay. So while we don't have that going on in our lives, we probably have other pressures going on in our lives. We probably have things coming against us, so it seems, and surrounding us, right? So here's what I want you to do. In this story, I want you to fill in the blank for you. So after this, the what? What's happening in your life that's causing pressure? So maybe for some of you, it's after this, the debt collectors and the company management and some of the medical reports came against Mary for battle. Maybe you're a student in here and you're like, after this, some of the final midterm exams, or the semester projects, or the popular kids came against Taylor for battle. We feel it. We feel pressure surrounding us. I don't know what your pressurized situation is today, but every single one of us has some kind of a pressurized situation, and it surrounds you, and it moves in on you, and we don't know what to do. And that's what happens with Jehoshaphat here. It says, some men came and told Jehoshaphat, look, a great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea, and behold, they are in Hazazon Tamar, that is in Engedi. Now, here's the interesting thing about this. These three nations were enemies of the nation of Israel. The people that God always promised to protect and provide for were His people, the people of Israel. And what's interesting, Derek walked us through the story a little bit, but when the people of Israel came out of slavery, out of bondage, when they came out of being enslaved in Egypt, they walked through the wilderness for 40 years, and then they found themselves at a place where they were going to cross the Jordan into the Promised Land. And early on in that voyage, these nations were nations that God led them around so that they wouldn't face the battle. But later, because they didn't defeat them early, they wound up facing them later. I say that because here's the thing. So many people in this room are new followers of Jesus. And I want you to know that in your walk with Jesus, you're going to face some enemies. You're going to face some battles. Sometimes the battle is in me. I've heard it said before that the greatest enemy is in me. Sometimes it's your own mind, your own psyche, your own thoughts. Sometimes it's other people. You're going to face some things, but by God's mercy, He's going to walk you around some things that are stronger than you, but you will face those things later when you're stronger. Because God wants to show you that He's stronger and that He will prevail in that situation. And that's what happens right here. These enemies come against him, and there's a pressure that sets in right there. Let's go to the next verse right here. We got the next verse. Then Jehoshaphat was afraid. Anybody here been afraid? I've been afraid, right? Isn't it crazy that in Christianity, oftentimes today, what they'll tell you is that as long as you follow Jesus, as long as you live your life right, as long as you are walking with Jesus, you will always be healthy, you will always be wealthy, you will never have any problems. And that's a myth. That's not the case. In fact, Jesus said, Zach reminded us last week, that Jesus himself came and said, there will be trouble, there will be trial. He said, the world's going to come against you, but take heart, I've overcome the world. And so Jehoshaphat was afraid. And you need to understand in here, it is okay for you and I to be afraid when pressurized situations hit. But Jesus, through Scripture, has told us 366 times, don't fear. 366 times. Do you think it's ironic that there's 365 days in a year and that there are some years that have 366 days in it? It's almost like God knew that we need to be reminded every single day, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. When you step into a pressurized situation, don't be afraid. And I think it's because of the second P. The second P, perspective. Perspective. Now, I've got a buddy over here, Travis. You guys put your hands together for Travis. Travis, awesome. I love my man Travis. Travis is going to stand over there because Travis, you guys look at him. He is a giant of a man. And he's good looking. And he just had a little baby girl. So his heart has melted because of his little baby girl now. So he's just a big teddy bear. Don't be afraid when you see him. He will give you a big hug, okay? And it won't be too tight. He won't crush you, okay? But Travis, I want you to think about this. Travis is a really, really large man. Now, I have in this jar a cockroach. Now, when I said, have you ever been afraid? Some of you are like, yeah, now, right? Because of this cockroach, okay? And so what I want to do is I'm just kidding. Gotcha. This past weekend, we went on a staff retreat. I don't really know why they call it a staff retreat. For us, we don't retreat when we do it. We more advance. And so we should have called it a staff advance. But our leadership team took an advance, and we were staying in a hotel that we thought was a really nice hotel. And the girls show up in their room that they were staying in, and there was this cockroach laying in the middle of the floor. And I've never seen girls lose their dang mind so fast, right? Now, some girls lose it differently. Like, you got the girl that's like, right? You got that. But one of our worship leaders, Ashley, she's into CrossFit. She's like, you know, and I wouldn't mess with Ashley. I wouldn't fight, but she's into CrossFit. She loves to lift weights, right? And Travis took this cockroach, and he started to put it on Ashley. And Ashley goes, she didn't, like, run away, like a girl. She goes, Travis, try, right? I'm like, oh, dear Lord, I'm afraid. But here's the thing. Sometimes our problems look really big when we first encounter them, but they're actually really small. Now, if I hold this cockroach up right here, it looks really big, doesn't it? In fact, let's say I come over here and I hold this cockroach up right here. Based on my perspective, this cockroach is actually bigger than Travis. Now, that's completely absurd, but isn't that sometimes how we feel? Like, see, if you're a follower of Jesus, you know that you have a Savior that is so much bigger than any situation that you're going through. But the problems, when they press in around you, they can get so close to you that you can't see anything else but the problems. And so your Savior, which happens to be at a distance, because you haven't been showing up to church for a while. Maybe it's been a while since you've actually dug into God's Word. And so your Savior looks so far off, and your problems can get really, really, really big. But Scripture tells us that when we draw close to God, He will draw close to us. In other words, when we take a step toward God, He'll take a step toward us. And when we take two steps toward God, He'll take two steps toward us. And when we go, God, I want to be in your presence, I want to be near you, all of a sudden we look up and we see that our Savior is way bigger than our situation, and our Savior can squash our situation like a little bug. Don't look so intimidated anymore, does it? You guys give a hand to Travis. That'd be awesome. Hey, listen, do you see this? Do you see what I just did? You know what worship is? All worship is this: stepping toward our Savior, because He promises, draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. He promises He will take steps toward us, but He wants to see us take faith steps toward Him. So when you don't feel like showing up to church, you still get up and take a step. When you don't feel like reading your Bible, you still open up and read your Bible. When you don't feel like being nice to your friend, you still are nice to your friend, because the act of those things is worship to a heavenly Father who says, I will come close to you because I am more large than your situation. Now, Jehoshaphat, look at this. It's crazy. It says he was afraid, but he set his face to seek the Lord. He said, you know what? I got problems, but I serve a person who eradicated problems that could overtake me 2,000 years ago when he stepped on earth, went to the cross, took all sin, all shame on himself, and then listen, he didn't stay dead 3 days later, raised from the dead to show us that he is bigger than death itself. If Jesus is bigger than death itself, there's nothing that can come against you and me. The Bible says, as a follower of Jesus, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you and me. And Jehoshaphat says, yeah, I got some problems, but I serve a person who raised from the dead. Yeah, I've got a situation here, but I serve a Savior who is way bigger than my situation, and I choose to put my eyes on my Savior. Perspective. It changes for us in the midst of pressure. The next P is a place. A place. I want to show you, because Jehoshaphat and his people, they then went to a place. It says in verse 5, and Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the, where? House of the Lord. Well, where's the house of the Lord? Where is it? Participation. What is the house of the Lord? Church. Church is God's house. It's the house of the Lord. It's where he has said, I will put my presence when my people gather. Now, the great thing about us now, that since we have the Holy Spirit, this was Old Testament before the Holy Spirit, now you and I have the presence of God that we take with us everywhere, the Holy Spirit. But God says, I will do something special in a group of people when they gather and they put their eyes on me. There's a place that is set aside for the presence of God, and that's the local church. Which is why, listen, it is so important for you and I to show up to church on a regular basis. It's amazing to me how many things can come in the way of us showing up to church. I was talking to a gal a while ago, a long time ago, actually, and she came back to church after being away for probably about 2 months, and she was like, after the service, she goes, man, Pastor, which I always feel weird when people call me Pastor. It's just weird. I'm like, I'm Davey. Like, that's it, okay? There's nothing special about me. I'm just Davey. She's like, man, Pastor, I just needed that so much. I feel like I've been in a desert, and today it felt refreshing, like I just stepped into an oasis. And I was like, you did. So why go back to the desert? Why not stay in the oasis and hydrate your soul so that when, listen, so that, can we be honest? Monday through Friday at work sometimes feels like a desert, doesn't it? So when you do have to step into desert places and dry places, you are hydrated up with the living water, Jesus Christ, because of what we've done together on a Sunday. And you're inspired. There's a spiritual shot of adrenaline surging through you. You're inspired to go be the church Monday through Saturday and show up to church on Sunday. That's what the place does. I talk to people and they're like, well, Davey, I'm a Christian, but I don't need church. I don't need it. You know what that's like? That's like being like, Davey, I'm an automobile, but I don't need a gas station. I'm good. Well, actually, Davey, the new Teslas, shut up. You try driving a Tesla for forever and not charging that thing and see what happens. You're going to be calling me and you're on the side of the road and I'm not coming to pick you up. You know what I'm saying? We need stops along the way that refuel us, and that's what we do when we gather and we sing. And what happens is these group of people, they got in this pressurized situation. Jehoshaphat goes, hey guys, let's not look at our situation. Let's look at our Savior. Let's change our perspective. Let's gather together. Let's set our eyes on Jesus together. There's a place. It was awesome. Now the next thing, they didn't really know what to do, and so this guy steps up. And in just a second in 12, this guy kind of steps up and he starts talking to them about some things. But before he does, Jehoshaphat gets up there and he starts doing something really strange. I'm not going to read through all of them, but you can go read through all of them. And he starts listing out the promises of God. He starts going, hey God, we got these three armies coming against us. And you said a long time ago to your people that you would come and rescue your people if they got together and they prayed. You said so. Hey, God, remember when you said that you'd always provide for us? You'd always protect us? Remember when you told the prophet Jeremiah that you had a plan for us and it was to prosper us, not to harm us? You remember your promises? And I was reading this and I was going, Jehoshaphat, like, did God forget the promises? Because Jehoshaphat is reminding God of his promises. I started thinking about it. I was like, I wonder if God was up in heaven and he's just like, oh, my me. Oh. I am so sorry, Jehoshaphat. I know I had an appointment with you. Gabriel, I told you to write it down on my Google Calendar. Send me a reminder next time. I am so sorry, Jehoshaphat. Next time we will be there for you. Do you think God needed to be reminded of his promises? No. But you know who needed to be reminded of God's promises? Jehoshaphat did. The people did. You know what we do when we gather in church every single week? We're just reminding each other of God's promises in the midst of our pressurized situations. That's why we need church. That's why we need each other. That's why one of our core convictions is it's impossible to do this alone. There's a place. So he reminds us of the promises, and this is what it says in verse 12. Sorry, I'll go back to that. It says, oh, our God, will you not execute judgment on them? I would love to see God like actually execute judgment, right? You see a judge with the gavel, just like bam. Like, wouldn't that be awesome? There's something coming against you. It's like, God, would you execute? Bam! Got him. That'd be awesome. That's just how I read the Bible. I just like it, okay? For we are powerless against this great horde that is coming against us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. That's the most powerful statement I think I've ever read in Scripture, because that's the statement that summarizes my life so many times. God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do about my kids. They're driving me crazy. They're making dumb decisions. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. God, I don't know what to do about this teacher. I feel like that she's against me. She gives me bad marks on every single one of my papers. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. I don't know what to do about the job situation. All of these layoffs are coming down the line at work. I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. So some of us just need to write that out on our mirror in the morning and go, I don't know what to do, but my eyes, Lord, are on you. I'm going to choose to turn my eyes in your direction when this is trying to distract me. So he says this, and then this is so crazy. This is so cool. I love this. It says this. This guy gets up. It wasn't Jehoshaphat. It was somebody else. It was probably the worship leader. And I'm sure he wore a scarf and skinny jeans. I'm just sure of it. Deep V, you know, the double V. Some of you got that. And he said, listen, all Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat. So he's even telling Jehoshaphat, hey, listen, bro. I've had Derek do that to me before. Hey, shut up. Listen. That's real. He does it sometimes. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid. There it is. That's one of the 366 times. And do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Maybe you came in here today and all you needed to hear, hey, listen, the situation you're going through, the battle's not yours, it's God's. It's not for you to take care of, it's God's. Maybe that's all you needed to hear. But what about the battles that are ours? Because you know there are some battles that are ours that are not God's. That God laid down in Scripture and said, hey, I'm asking you to pick up arms and fight. And when you pick up arms and fight, I'll come in and fight with you. But you got to pick up arms and fight. Like some of us in here, you're in a financial situation. And you're going, God, just fight this for me. Do it. Do a miracle. Let me win the lottery. Hey, I think about it sometimes. I would tithe, okay? So don't worry about that. And God's going, hey, man, I've already told you that that's your battle to fight. I told you in Scripture that you needed to start bringing back the first 10% in tithing. I told you that you needed to start saving, putting stuff away for emergencies, putting stuff away for paying cash for things so that you're not going into debt on things. I already told you that you need to start budgeting so that you've got money spent on paper before you start the month. I've already told you these things in Scripture. That's not my battle to fight. That's your battle to fight. And when you fight that, I'll come in beside you and I'll do some really awesome things in your life and in your financial world. Well, God, what about that? What about that relationship? She said that thing to me, made me so mad. Fight the battle. Do the judgment thing. Bam, do it. There's a verse in Psalms that says, break the teeth of my enemies, right? That's what you feel like. What about that? God's going, I already told you that you needed to release bitterness in your heart and go and approach her and forgive her for what she said. That's your battle to fight. That's not mine. Well, God, I got a test coming up. I got this final exam. I really need you to fight this battle. I'm a little worried about it. God's going, yeah, I told you probably should have studied for that one. You see, there are some battles in life that aren't ours or that aren't God's. They're ours to fight. And what's crazy is this. You and I have the tendency to dwell on the things that we can't control and ditch the things that we can. And God's going, do it the other way. Do it the other way. Do what you can do and let me do what only I can do. And when that happens, God does something incredible. The next thing I want, next P I want you to write down is posture. Posture, because when it comes to worship, especially when it comes to, now understand when I say worship that I'm talking about a Monday through Sunday, 24/7 lifestyle, right? But sometimes we call worship this part before the service and after the service that we sing together, or when you're belting out music in the car, which is always really embarrassing when you're driving next to somebody and you're like, yeah, right? And they're like, who's that freak, right? Like, sorry, my bad. You know, I got the windows down, so. So worship is actually this lifestyle, but the time that we have in worship, isn't it really funny sometimes to watch people worship, right? I see a lot of heads nodding. You shouldn't be watching anybody worship. What's wrong with you? No, I do. I watch people worship. It's fun. I mean, it's especially because you got the cuddle worshipers. You know what I'm talking about, the cuddle worshipers, right? They're over there, they're singing, and they're like, I want to be close to you. I want to be close to you. There's nothing in this world. I'm like, bro, that song ain't about her, okay? Knock it off. Right? We've got some really interesting ways that we posture ourselves in worship. And if you're not a follower of Jesus or you're new to this whole church thing, let me just run you through a couple things that we do, okay? We like you to start out slow, okay? If you're really getting into it and you're feeling the beat, so start out slow, put your hands in your pocket, sway to the beat a little bit, okay? And then I want you to start with the elbow flap. That's a safe way, okay? The next thing, if you really want to get into it, okay, put your hands down just like this and go with the carry the TV. Widescreen? Maybe. Dylan's coming up right now, but Dylan, hold on a second. I don't want the music coming right yet. That would really change this mood in a heartbeat. Nobody would laugh. Maybe it's the my fish is this big. Or if you're a liar. It's okay, God loves you. Right? I mean, here's some of my favorites, right? I like the hold my baby. That's one of my favorites. What about the goalpost? You know the goalpost? A little heartburn in there. Double heartburn. What about this one? This is the best one right here. It's the Mufasa. Ha, Savinya! Right? That's awesome. You got the point to God, right? You got the hatchet. You got the classroom question. You've got the fist bump to God. You've got all these things that you could do, right? Hey, listen. There are lots of postures in worship that we could take on, and they actually, in this next verse, they take on a posture of worship, and there's different postures they take on. It says, then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord, and the Levites of the those people stood up to praise the Lord. They stood up, and it says, the God of Israel with a loud voice. Stop. This is why we have loud music in church. It's a loud, people have come to me before and they're like, I think you should turn it down. And all I answer them with is this. The great theologians, DJ Snake and Lil Jon said, turn down for what? But it's real. It's real. Listen, it's real. It's real. Because when you have pressurized situations in your life, you got voices that are yelling at you. The voice of condemnation yells at you, doesn't it? The voice of shame yells at you. The voice of guilt yells at you. You come to church and you're like, you have this voice that says, everybody knows your problems. They're not going to accept you here. It's yelling at you. You know why we have loud music outside the fact that we don't want to hear you sing? People are like, I want people to hear me sing. Nobody else wants to hear you sing. So you know why? You know why? You know why? Because those voices are surrounding you and you've got to outshout the enemy. You've got to be louder than the voices that are coming against you. And so sing and posture yourself for worship. Postures. Now, that's why we raise our hands. It doesn't have anything to do. Listen, it doesn't matter the posture of your heart. I mean, the posture of your hands. It matters the posture of your heart. That's what matters. So whatever you feel like doing. People have told me before, man, the music just got to this place where I just felt like raising my hands. I'm like, why didn't you? Why didn't you? Sometimes it's really hard to express what you're feeling in your heart without using your hands. I know, I'm a communicator. I use them a lot. But my little boy, I mean, he was really excited about something. We came back from this staff advance and we saw him for the first time. I hadn't seen him in a while. And he was really excited. He wanted to show me something. But he got so excited, he can't talk really well. And he goes, do. And he pointed. And then I asked him, buddy, where's your little stuffed animal? Where's your little doggy? And he looks around for a second. And he goes, do. He didn't know. Sometimes we just don't know. Sometimes we're going through life and like, I don't know what to do, God. But I put my eyes on you. See, it's crazy. What happens? It says they rose early in the morning. Early in the morning. This is why I'll always say, hey, listen, if you want to change the perspective, just a little shift of perspective on your day, get up 10 minutes earlier than you normally would and read the Bible. Don't like wake up 10 minutes before the kids will wake up and jump in the shower and start your day with chaos, because it's crazy. All day you'll be in chaos. You'll be scurrying around. You'll be stressed out. You'll be anxious. You'll be worried. But if you can start your day off by posturing your heart in front of God, saying, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are on you. Would you help me? It says they arose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness. And the fourth P I want you to write down is practice. Practice. I'm sorry, is that the fourth or the fifth? I don't remember. Fifth. Practice. And what they began to do is they began to do something that is absolutely crazy to me. It's crazy. Like, I read it for the first time, I was like, what? Look what happens right here. The guy who talked to them said, this is what God wants you to do when it comes to this battle. And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in the holy attire as they went before the army. So they're like, all right, here's the battle plan. Infantry, hold up. Cavalry, stop, just hold up. Archers, nope. Musicians, come here. Front lines. If I'm a musician, I'm going, was this in like Sun Tzu's Art of War? Or what? I've never seen this strategy. The trombonist is probably like, well, I mean, I guess I could, right? Like, I'm just glad I wasn't playing the flute or the piccolo right there, you know? Like, put the worshipers on the front lines of battle? This is kind of crazy. And I just wonder if they're standing there on the front lines of battle, and they're going, I don't, this seems really dumb, but God's done some really dumb, some crazy stuff, like, in the past, so, like, maybe this will work. I don't know. You know, what are we supposed to do? I think one of them said, maybe we should just practice. They started going, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Right? Look full in his wonderful face. He's probably a little timid, a little hesitant. He's like, but in the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And then maybe, just maybe, because of the courage of one person to stand up and not worry about what anybody thought, the other people started singing in with them. And maybe one more person joined in and said, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And he started gaining some courage. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And then maybe somebody else chimed up and they were like, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Come on, sing it if you know it. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. And then they really picked up. This is my story. Come on. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, yeah. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Right, and here's what's crazy. It says, when they began to sing and the Lord set an ambush. You see that? They're on the front lines. They're like, I don't know what to do, but maybe if we just sing, maybe if we just lift up our voices, maybe if we just turn our eyes to Jesus and we just sing and we worship, maybe all of a sudden perspective shifts and our problems don't seem so big anymore, but the person who's with us seems huge and it changes everything. And God goes, I'll come in because I inhabit the praises of my people. I'll come in and I'll rescue you in your greatest need. Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed. Because I'm here. I got you. And when they begin to sing, it became a weapon. Don't worry, this is an airsoft gun. A weapon to battle worry. I thought we'd just have some fun with it. Come here, Zach, come on. Because sometimes you just need to be reminded. Derek, come hold my microphone. You just need to be reminded that when you get that phone call, instead of worrying about it, step over here, because I'm going to go crossways. Instead of worrying about it, maybe you need to worship. Boom. Instead of worrying about the medical bill, maybe you need to worship. Instead of, I missed right there, but it's okay if your worship misses. Just go again. Maybe instead of worrying so much about your kids, you need to lift it up and surrender to Jesus in worship. Maybe instead of worrying about the job situation, you need to worship. Maybe instead of worrying about the project at school, you need to study and then worship. Maybe instead of worrying about what other people think about you, you need to worship. Come on. Worship is a weapon that we use to wage warfare against worry. Thank you, Zach. I told him maybe six. He got off easy. That's all we're doing here, guys. That's all we're doing. But I don't sing good. It's okay. That's why we have the music loud. We just sing. And I can promise you, if you posture your heart in that position, you're going to sense something that I can't even describe. You're going to sense it. You're going to feel it. And it's the Holy Spirit who wants to come have a relationship with you. And maybe he wants to give you a next step that you need to work on, or maybe he wants to just give you peace that you need to let work on you. So let's do this. Let's pray together. Across this room, let's just lift up our hearts right now and let's pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I really don't know what pressurized situation you came in here with, but you know what I do know that really matters is I know the one who can take pressure and turn it to peace. And I want you to know that one. I want you to know the God that is bigger than any situation that you're going through. And today you can know him personally. And you can walk through a lifestyle of worship today with one simple declaration of your heart that says, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for me for my sins. I know I'm broken. I know I'm trying to do things by myself, but today I recognize you died so I don't have to do that. And you raised from the dead so I can be victorious in these situations when I put my trust in you. So maybe today you need to step into, for the first time, a relationship with Jesus, and you need your soul changed. If that's the case, I want to invite you to pray this prayer. It's very, very simple, but it's already, what it is it's just a declaration of what's already happening in your heart right now. It just says this, pray this after me. Dear Jesus, I know that I need you. And I've been trying to do life without you. And it's led to worry. It's led to anxiety. It's led to stress. And I've been fighting it and fighting it and fighting it. But today I choose not to fight against you. And I choose to fight with you. I want to make you my Savior. I want to make you my Lord. I want to turn my worship on something from something else onto you. And I want to give you my heart. Have it all, Jesus. today in this moment, step into my life and change me. Make me new and teach me how to follow after you. In your name I pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you just prayed that prayer to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to ask you to do something a little bit courageous. But every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want you to acknowledge that to me. I want you to just say, hey, Davey, I prayed that prayer today for the first time to receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I want you to know that because I want to celebrate that with you. So would you just put your hand in the air if you prayed that prayer? Amen. Would you just put your hand in the air? Amen. Put it up high. Put it up high. It's okay. It's okay. There's nothing to be ashamed about. Amen. Is there anybody else? Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Amen. You can keep your head bowed and your eyes closed. If you raised your hand, you prayed that prayer, man, we want to celebrate that with you. That's why we exist as a church, to introduce you to Jesus. We don't believe that we're perfect or any of us in this room are perfect, but he is. And he wants to just walk you in steps. And so we want to help you with those next steps. And when we get done here and we're going to sing this last song, we're going to have Zach come back out and help you to know what those next steps would be. But I just want you to know that I am proud of you for stepping up courageously and acknowledging today I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And listen, if maybe you already have a relationship with Jesus, but today you just needed to hear this and you're struggling with something in particular, a pressurized situation that is surrounding you and coming against you, and maybe you just needed to hear this message and it touched you, here's what I want to do, because I want to pray for you before we leave and sing this last song. Would you just put your hand in the air and say, Davey, I needed this today. I really needed this. I'm going through something and I needed to be reminded. Amen. You can keep putting your hands up. I needed to be reminded that I have a Savior that's bigger than my situation. Amen. 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 Let me pray for everybody here. Jesus, we thank you so much for the fact that you are God and that you are the only one that's worthy of our worship, because you are the only one that can take broken and tattered pieces and you can make them brand new. Jesus, we thank you so much for every situation that's represented today, every heart that's represented today. And I pray that today, in this moment, that you would solidify in their hearts that you have given them the weapon called worship. And in this moment, that you would help them, every one of us, Jesus, I pray that you would help us to turn our eyes on you and get them off our situation. We don't know what to do, but we know that you know. The God that's outside of time knows exactly what we're supposed to do. And so we turn our eyes to you right now, Jesus. We choose to fight to follow after you. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. 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 Why don't you guys do this? Let's sing one more song together. Stand together. We're going to sing this song again, Fight to Follow, as a declaration. So let's lift our voices together.